one sat alone beside the highway, begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee. When Jesus comes...
It's time again for the Family Altar program with Evangelist Lester Roloff.
When Jesus comes, all the tears are dried away.
And here now is Brother Roloff.
And fills the life with glory. For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.
Oh, to be alive, sing it. Oh, to be alive, blessed be the good as thou art. Come in thy sweetness. Come in thy fullness. Stamp thy own image deep on my heart.
Let's sing it once more. Make it your prayer. It'll not take the Lord long to bless you. When we get to the place where we hurt on the inside to be like him.
Right.
Oh, to be like thee. That right. The songwriter said it's hurting. It's hurting just to be like thee. Sing it again now.
Oh, to be like thee.
Sing it.
Father, we're here for the stamping. We pray that we'll never be satisfied until we awake with thy likeness. Oh, make us more like him. We pray that the living Christ may be formed in us, and that our lives may be translated to higher planes and deeper depths, and the Word of God will become more real to us, and souls will be more precious, lives will be sweeter. Oh, bless us, Lord, with the fullness of Christ. Fill us with himself, and bless us with liberty and unction, and give the people discernment to hear and understand. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Many years ago, there was a man that lived, and they called him Lord Kelvin. It is said that he had over 100 inventions, some very outstanding, to his name. In one of the recognition hours of his greatness, he was asked the question, what would you consider the greatest discovery you ever made? And without any hesitation, he said, the greatest discovery I ever made, but it's when I discovered that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. This has been an age and generation of tremendous discoveries. Not any doubt, but what some of the greatest inventions will be credited to this generation. We've had higher learning, and we've had new textbooks. Fact is, we've had old textbooks to go out of date. And we've had many things to become useless
after new inventions have been made. This has been the air age. Airports have been built, and airplanes have started with their little single propellers, and now with the tremendous jet soaring at the altitude of 40,000 and even more, to the tune of 600 miles per hour and even faster, and other planes being built now that are in the mold that will carry 700 and more people in one aircraft with tremendous power. And man has learned how to climb up in space and climb out and walk around and then come back and splash down within a few miles of his rescue boat or ship. I mean, this has been a generation that's invented the radio and developed it, and television and developed it, and all the rest of it. But dear friends, I'm going to share with you two or three or four thoughts. And unless you can figure in on this kind of discovery, it's all in vain. Every bit of it's in vain. I'd like to say this. After a generation of tremendous discovery, I'll have to admit, and so will you, this is the most miserable generation that ever walked on American soil. There never was any generation that swallowed as many tranquilizers and are as untranquilized as this generation. There never has been a generation on American soil as sick, as rotten, as mentally disturbed, as miserable. There's never been as many suicides. 6 to 7 attempted suicides on one college campus. 6 to 7 college students that are supposed to be learning how to live, and yet they want to die.
That's right.
I'll tell you what the trouble is. They've not met the Prince of Life. They've not met the lover of our soul. They've not met the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you, it's increasingly difficult to meet him on anybody's college campus these days. He'll be the last man ever to be mentioned unless his name is used in profanity and vanity. He'll be the last one you'll ever hear discussed. I mean, in a sweet, reverent way, in the average classroom. No wonder our colleges are failing to meet the needs. No wonder so many suicides. No wonder that we've got so much sin and filth, and they're trying to find the satisfaction in the things of the world, and man has never been satisfied living in sin. Not going to be in our generation. Get all you can in your head. Last night I said the plague's in the head, and that's where a good deal of it is. But oh, the joy is in the heart when Christ comes in. You have your Bible. I want you to turn with me. 2 Kings chapter 22 and verse 8. And I believe that I have never brought a more vital or more important or timely or appropriate message than the Lord has given me. I want to read to you the 8th verse. And Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, verse 8, I have found the book. I have found the book. That's one discovery the average American has never made. And sad to say, the average church member has never discovered the book. Until you discover the book, it'll never discover you. I mean by that, until God's people come to the place, especially after they've been saved, where they realize that everything you're hungry for and looking for and all that you need and really all that you want is found in this book that this man discovered. Listen, apart from the book, there's no wisdom. Apart from the book, there's no power. Apart from the book, there's no cleansing. Apart from the book, there's no strength. Apart from the book, there's no guidance. Apart from the book, there's no will of God. Apart from the book, there's no direction for life. Apart from the book, life holds no real joy and overcoming portion. It's all found in the book. And yet I want to ask you a question. Do you ever go a day without reading the book, feeding on the book? Do you ever skip a day? I mean, is the Bible so unimportant that you can shove it aside for an entire 24 hours and say, I just haven't had a morsel of bread? Oh, that God's people would discover the book and let the book discover them. There's nothing that'll straighten out our home problem, our church problem, and our national problem but the book. I mean, this is God's divine wisdom. And they said, I have found the book. Now, I'll go into this, tell you where they found it, how they found it, what the book did, and what it'll do for us today. This book right here. We've had boys right here in your city in the service with us during this season of revival services. And they have found the victory in the book. We never consider any alcoholic or narcotic addict delivered. We never consider that he has real permanent victory until he not only gets off of liquor, but he gets hooked on the book. He's got to get a fix, if you please. We never consider a dope addict who travels these streets of Houston and walks and spends his money seeking to get a fix. We never consider him really fixed until his heart's fixed on the Word of God. The Bible said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God." And so the greatest discovery... Somebody asked me, "Brother Olaf, where'd you get your convictions?" Well, the answer would have to be I got them out of the Bible, because I didn't have them before I started reading the Bible. I had no convictions. Well, they were secondhand. My mother and dad passed on to me some convictions, but they were not mine until I got into the Word of God. The Lord has given me convictions about the Lord's day. I believe one of the greatest discoveries we need to make, and I read again where Isaiah, in the 6th chapter, discovered the holiness of God. Brother, that's a discovery this generation needs to make. God is not holy. I mean, during these wars, people refer to God as the man upstairs, or you know, the old man, or something. Dear friends, that's irreverent. Amen. Oh, listen, we need to discover. Isaiah, I believe, became one of the greatest men of God, but he didn't until he had discovered the holiness of God. Yes, he said, "I saw the Lord in the year that King Uzziah died. I saw the Lord high and lifted up." And there was three holies: holy, holy, holy. And dear friends, until this generation realizes that God is holy, the Bible is holy, the Lord's day is holy, I believe we're never going to get back to him and never going to be blessed of the Lord. Our nation is sunk. I mean, everybody knows that. So desperate are we. And yet it seems that not even the churches are willing to turn back to the Lord and let the Lord's word become first. He said, "I've discovered the book." I have discovered the book. Have you ever really discovered the word of God? Job said, "I've esteemed thy word more than my necessary food." Now you wonder why Job came through? Dear friends, the secret is the book. If it hadn't have been for the book, he'd have turned back. His wife said, "Curse God and die." And that's what's happened in America. She's cursed God and she's dead.
That's right.
That's what happened to the churches. They cursed God, now they're dead. That's what happened to the homes. They cursed God and they're dead. Anybody that doesn't read the Bible in the home and doesn't have any prayer in the home, you've already cursed God. You're dead. Anytime a church doesn't honor God and preach his word, she's cursed God and she'll die. Curse God and die. Everybody that curses God dies. Job said, "Well, you talk like one of the foolish women. Curse God? Well, of course I'll not curse God. Put my trust in him. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." Why'd you do that? "For esteems your word more than my necessary food." And then you go to that last chapter, the 42nd chapter. The Bible said the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed. The reason Job prayed, he had the book. He stayed with the book. No man can pray right who doesn't rightly relate himself with the word of God. "If you abide in me, my words abide in me. In you, you shall ask what you will. It'll be done for you." Turn with me, please, to another passage. It's the book of Genesis. It's the first book of the Bible. I'll just mention this, but this is a tremendous discovery in the book of Genesis. And it's chapter 26. It's verse 32. Oh, the sweet rustling of the leaves. Yes, sir. Rustling of the leaves of these wonderful books called the Bible. Now then, there was tremendous opposition to God's people. Always have been. God's people have never gotten along with the world. God's people have never been loved by the world. They've always been hated, despised, and the reason is they've been misunderstood. I used to wonder why, and I didn't know any better at that time. I said, "I don't know why the world can't understand that I'm trying to do right. I mean, I know I'm doing better than I've ever done in my life, and I've got more opposition than I've ever had. Why don't they understand?" And God said, "Son, when they understand you, you're wrong. The world will receive its own, and they'll understand what they're doing, but they won't understand anything that's supernatural." And so we've got to get used, dear friends, to the conflict and the constant head-on collision with the world. It's always got to be that way. And even the religious world won't understand it. They'll become our worst foe. Religion was the worst foe that Jesus ever had. Now, if you were to read the entire chapter, in the 26th chapter, you'll find that Isaac and his folks are busy digging wells. Bible said, 18th verse, Isaac digged again the wells of water. And verse 19, Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found their well of springing water. Verse 21, and they digged another well. They digged another well. And I will forget the message I preached on this one time. Be not weary in well digging. And a lot of people don't have any water because they won't dig a well. Too many people are lazy. They won't dig.
Right.
And the thing is, a lot of us don't want to dig a well because we'll never have opposition till we strike water.
That's right.
That's where the opposition comes from. Listen, that bunch of lazy heathens over there, all they did was follow the children of Israel along. When they struck water, they'd take it away from them. But they didn't quit digging. They didn't say, well, we'll just quit and we'll give up. We're weary and discouraged. Be not weary in well digging. After a while, you'll get a well and you'll keep it. And they did. And God gave them water. If you want some water, dig a well. And I will forget many years ago on the farm, we had some neighbors, and I won't call their name, but they're just sort of lazy. That's what my daddy said. Of course, I kind of wanted to be like them, and there's times I'd long for my dad and mother to be like my neighbor, because they didn't get up till way after sunup. Here we were staggering around in the dark. Daddy hollering, wake up, Jacob, days are breaking, days are breaking. Be 2 hours before day'd break. He just said that because it rhymed, that's all. In the summertime, we'd get through and lay by, you know, when we'd lay by the crop, that means she's ready now. We got all the weeds out of it. My dad said, all right, boys, we're going to dig a tank. Dig a tank right in the hot summertime, July and August. Go out there and take those old Fresnos, little old scrapers, you know. I've been thrown over those things a many a time. Dig a tank. And then he got an old Challenge windmill stuck up on the side of that tank. But listen, brother, when the drought came, here come those lazy neighbors. You know what they had? A pair of old mules, a sled, and an old water barrel sitting on top of it. Mr. Olaf, wonder if we'd get a barrel of water. Yeah. Too lazy to dig a tank. Coming to borrow water. That's where a lot of people are today. Do you know that? That's where some church members are. They come over here and bring the barrel. Yeah. Come over on a sled, you know. Old religious sled. Haul the barrel. Said, want a barrel of water? I tell you what I believe I'd do. I'd just move closer to the tank. Amen?
Amen?
I mean, just move in where the water is, see? But I want to give you this. This is a great text found in the 26th chapter of the book of Genesis. And he said in the latter part of the 32nd verse, we found water. We found water. Oh, what a tremendous text that is. We found the water. This whole nation is concerned about water. No big industry will move a plant into a city until they've considered the water supply. And yet I know people that'll move for 1,000 miles and never see if they got any water over there. I'm talking about spiritual water. They don't want to ask about a church, won't see if they got a preacher. They just move in into the middle of a drought and all of them died because there's no water. He said, we've found the water. We've found the water. Oh, listen to me. I don't have time to develop this theme, but water is the number one healer. Did you know that? Water is the number one cleanser. Water is the thing that will quench your thirst. Water is the thing that makes the ground turn green with green grass and crops. And it would be impossible to live without water. There's no substitute for water. They've never invented a little old carbonated drink or a refreshing drink of any kind that will take the place of water. Dear friends, I remind you that Jesus Christ is the water of life. Oh, we need that water. He said, I've found the water. I've found some water. What an announcement. In a day of drought, read through the Bible. There was a woman who came to the well, sat on the well curb. And as we've said before, the thing that brings anybody to the well is that they face a water shortage. And if you'd realize that you're dry today and barren today, I've been reading over there in Isaiah where he said, I'll pour water upon them that's thirsting, floods on the dry ground. I'll pour water on you, see. He didn't say, I'll sprinkle. He said, I'll pour it on you. Oh, listen, I believe what a holler to the Lord in reverence today. Pour it on us. We need water in this age of drought. I've found water. But there's one other. Turn with me, please, to the book of John. This is life's greatest discovery right here. John chapter 1. I read through my little old Cruden's Concordance on how many discussions. Bible said Abraham found grace. That's the discovery, wasn't it? Now, that's the greatest discovery I've ever made in my life, spiritually or theologically, is when I found grace. I mean, I located that everything's but grace. I mean, that's the one thing that's held me during these stormy years of my spiritual pilgrimage, is the fact that Jesus Christ saved me by His grace. He keeps me by His grace, and I'm going to be rewarded by His grace. Amen. Everything I've ever gotten in life that's worth holding on to, and everything I've ever gotten that held on to me, was grace. Abraham found grace. You read through the Bible where men found grace in the eyes of the Lord. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly in this present evil world. Brother, it's grace. Oh, listen. When I met Dr. Law and Dr. Grace, I met the two doctors that met all my needs and have supplied everything that I've been hungry for. But over in the book of John, I'm sorry to say, we got a lot of people that have never found grace. Never found grace, not in God's sight. They've never found it. In John, we find these words. In the first chapter, verse 40, one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother, Simon, and saith unto him, we've found the Messiah. We've found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ, and he brought him to Jesus. Now we've come to the climax and the apex of all of life's discoveries. Jesus said, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? I'm asking you, have you made that great discovery that Jesus Christ is God's Messiah, born of a virgin, lived without sin, died the atoning death, arose again? And I was thinking, as I pondered the message, Jesus Christ, who was the rock out of which the water flowed, Jesus Christ, who dug every channel for the rivers, dug out the basins for the oceans, caused every drop of rain to fall that's ever come out of a cloud, caused every streak of lightning to run from jagged cloud to jagged, every thunder that's ever come. And yet, when Jesus Christ, God's Son, the author of the living water, hung on Calvary's cross, he said as his tongue swelled up and his cheeks were flushed, no doubt, because of the pain, he said, I'm thirsty. I'm thirsty.
We're happy you joined us today for the Family Altar program with Evangelist Lester Roloff. The message today entitled, Greatest Discovery Ever Made. The Greatest Discovery Ever Made. Now, to receive that message on a CD, simply ask for RO2600 and include $10. We'd like to have today's date also, and the call letters to this radio station. Here is the address, the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78403. And to use your credit card, dial toll-free 1-800-772-7507. The July offer for the month is a music CD called A Message in Song. The uniqueness of this CD is it's all songs that were recorded at a revival Brother Roloff was holding. The Family Altar Quartet was also singing some of the songs that you hear, such as I'll Have a New Body, Let the Lower Lights Be Burning, Oh, What a Savior, and many, many more. To receive this CD, ask for offer number 3678. And to help with postage and shipping, we ask for at least $10. Now, order by credit card, dial toll-free at 1-800-772-7507. Or write us at the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78403. And be sure to check the website now. That's www.roloff.org. And you'll find some interesting facts on that particular website. So now the offer today is A Message in Song, the offer number 3678, and include $10. We want to reach out to you to help us during the summer months as we hesitate in dropping some radio stations, but we're just about forced to do so. We need to hear from you today. Call us at 1-800-772-7507 or write us at the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas 78403. This is Gene Price speaking for the SAF, wishing you a wonderful day. Looking forward to being with you again here on the Family Altar program.
The strangers to God, His grace and His love, were gathered by Blue Galilee to listen with joy to words from the lips of the stranger who sat by the sea. They came and they were blessed. He gave the weary rest. He made the blinded eyes to see. He fed the hungry soul, and He made the wounded whole by the waters of Blue Galilee. They sat at His feet, and they looked in His face, content in His presence to be, for no one before had cared for their souls like the stranger who sat by the sea. They came and they were blessed. He gave the weary rest. He made the blinded eyes to see. He fed the hungry soul, and He made the wounded whole by the waters of Blue Galilee.